So as we're here this week, the Lord put this message in my heart, because I know as Christians we face a lot of defeated situations. We walk in a lot of depression, discouragement, fear, uncertainties. I don't care what we say. I don't care how Holy Ghost filled we are. Our faith gets tested, and we get weak. And things come into our lives that discourage us. And I just want to remind all of you in here today who you are in Christ. And I've got a little video clip I'm going to play in just a second. I want to set this up. And this really is powerful. I know it might be, it's not because it's, you know, trying to entertain. It really does my message, I promise. But this is a clip from Lion King. It's about a 3-minute clip about remembering who you are. And it's so spiritual to me. And it's a visual to remind us that the Holy Spirit does live inside of us. And that though we can't maybe physically touch God, we can't physically maybe see God, He lives within us, and we are a reflection of who He is. And this is a clip from Lion King talking about that. I want to show this, and then we'll get into our message of remembering who you are, that you belong to the King today. And man, if you belong to the King, as Rodney Dunn said, if He's for you, who can be against you? Nobody. Play this clip, Michael.
Sure do. You're Mufasa's boy. Bye.
Hey, wait. You knew my father?
Correction. I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
Nope! Wrong again!
He's alive! And I'll show him to you! You follow old Rafiki, he knows the way! Come on! Don't dawdle! Hurry up!
Hey, whoa, wait, wait!
Come on! Come on!
Would you slow down? That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king. Remember who you are.
No, please, don't leave me.
Remember.
Father.
Remember.
It's a good picture, doesn't it? Isn't that powerful? Got Angela crying. That's powerful. I was crying too. I'm a big old baby on stuff like that. Oh, how powerful. He lives in you. That's my message today. He lives in us. Jesus lives in us. And we are to do more than what we have done. We're to be more than what we have been. Don't think that our limitations physically limit what God's able to do through our lives. We serve the King, and we have been blessed with His fullness of all that He is, all of His Spirit, all of what God is now lives inside of us. So why are we living a limited life based on what others say we can or can't do, or this miracle can't happen, or this healing can't happen, or this breakthrough can't happen? If my God lives in me, all things are possible. If I'm in my Father and He is in me, all things are possible. There is no mountain too high, no giant too strong that my God can't handle and can't fix and can't destroy. Remember, church, who you are. You belong to the King this morning if you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, we'll deal with that at the end of the service. But for right now, if you are a Christian, you belong to the King. And that's the recurring theme this morning that I want to really hit and drive home, that you belong to the King. So let's get into scriptures. Like I always say, don't want you to think I'm making this up. So let's get into scriptures. First, we'll be in John chapter 1, verse 12. John 1 and 12. This is Jesus talking, and He says this. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. This is Scripture. Jesus saying, you become my children by placing your faith in me. And I'm going to tell you something. A child has no problem asking mom and dad for anything, do they, parents? Even when they're grown, right, Christy? They have no problem asking for anything. They're your kids. Hey, can I borrow some money, mom? Hey, can I borrow? Hey, I really good. They go on Walmart. I want this. 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 Hey, can you get me this? We're broke. I know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Can I have this? Can I have that? Like Dory, right? Short-term memory loss. I told you I don't have no money. What, can I get this? Can I get this? They don't care to ask for anything because you're mom and dad. You provide. You clothe them. You shelter them. You feed them. You nurture them. You raise them. You teach them. You love them. And they depend on you. What if we depended on our Heavenly Father as much as we depend on other people? Lord, I'm going to depend on you for my breakthrough. I'm going to depend on you for my healing. I'm going to depend on you, God, for the miracle. I'm going to depend on you, God, for everything that's standing in the way of me becoming what you want me to be. God, I know who I'm supposed to be, but I have a hard time being that person. We got to first know who we are before we can act like who we are. And we have an identity crisis, as we know, in this country like never before. We truly do. We got boys wanting to be girls. We got girls wanting to be boys. We got people that don't even want to be called nothing. I heard on an interview the other day where the word now, what was that clip I showed you, Melanie? The word ma'am, not ma'am, woman. Did y'all know the word woman is offensive now? So help me. I heard it on a news interview, an actual TV news, where a woman was interviewing with one of the news anchors and says, I find, and she's a woman. She's not you don't know what she is. She's actually a woman. And she says, I find the word woman offensive. Man, I wanted to get a bag and just, are you serious? We're in this generation where there's no identity. How many times have we heard this expression from our young people? Maybe from the older people. I'm still trying to find myself. I just hadn't found myself. When you know who you belong to, you have found yourself. I'm a child of God. Man, I'm a child of God. I found myself. Hallelujah. I can fix all your problems today, church. Give your heart to Jesus and you'll know who you are. I'm a child of the King. I belong to Him. I no longer have an identity crisis of what I am. I am redeemed. I am reconciled. I'm bought with a price. I am saved. I am forgiven. His mercy flows. I'm no longer what I was. My past is forgiven. I am now a child of the living God, and He is my King forevermore. Man, all of a sudden that changes how we live our lives, don't it? Because I serve the King. So when all that fear comes, I serve my King. When all that discouragement comes, I serve the King. When all that stuff comes against our lives that want to pull us out of life, remind yourself of who you are. Your Father has not forsaken you. Your Father lives inside of you to equip you, to teach you, to help you. Remember what Jesus said when he's going to depart? He told his disciples, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit to teach you all things, to show you all things, to equip you with all. We are not fighting this battle by ourselves. We belong to the King, and he loves us with such a love that he poured all the wrath upon himself that we might be called the redeemed and the accepted and the beloved of God. That's how much he loves us. And Jesus says that we now can become sons of God. Next verse. This is found in 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where? In you. Which you have of who? God. And you are not your own. Next verse, Michael. You are bought with a price. What was that price? The sacrifice of Jesus. The spilt blood of Jesus. It bought us. What happened? That blood of Jesus canceled out the debt of sin that was held against us. It paid the price. The note's been paid forevermore. The past been erased forevermore. We now no longer belong to Satan, which means I don't have to listen to what the Joker says. I don't have to listen because guess what? He's not my king no more. The devil's not my Lord no more. The devil's not who I follow no more. I follow Jesus. So when the devil comes whispering all this stuff and all this junk that violates what God's word says, I tell him who he is, remind him what he is. He is defeated. He is overcome. The blood has put his hind end 6 feet under, and he has no more authority. And he can. I want to tell you this. The devil cannot take away your position in Christ. He can't do it. Now, yeah, we mess up and we fail. But the devil cannot take away the position we have in Christ because we have placed our faith that he is enough. Now, we got to believe this, church. Is he enough just when I'm good, or is he enough when I'm bad? All the time. Is he enough just when I'm praising Jesus with resurrection power, or is he still enough whenever I'm listening to Hank Williams' honky-tonk music? I mean, is he still enough when I feel good and I'm, whoo, boy, Holy Ghost power up in here, going to shout and shed some tears, you know, all that. Or is he still good enough when we're so down and out that we don't even want to get out of bed? He's king every day, and he's king of all days. And he's king of all moments, and he's king of all seconds. He's king of all weeks and months and years and all seasons and all generations. He's king. This same Holy Spirit that filled the upper room over 2,000 years ago, this mighty rushing wind that rushed in that place and filled those people with something they never had before, is the same Holy Spirit 2,000 years later that's a mighty rushing wind that rushes in every sanctuary that won't shut them out and say, yes, Lord, I want that Holy Spirit living inside of me. I want to know who I belong to. I want to be part of the kingdom. And he gives us that promise because he bought that price. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors for Christ. We know what that means, representatives. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead that you be reconciled back to God. And I love this verse 21. For he hath made him, talking about Jesus, to be sin for just Joe Brown. Yeah, Joe's quick on that one. He's listening. I ain't going down by myself. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, hallelujah. I'm right standing with God because he took my sin. That's who I am. Man, I can stand before God trusting that the price he paid was enough. I don't have to add a tip. You know, when I take someone out and buy their dinner, buy their breakfast, when I do that, you know, I take care of everything. People try to argue. Don't leave the tip. I got it. I got it all. Don't leave no tip. I said I take care of the meal. That includes the tip. I got it all. Sometimes we think Jesus paid it all, but not the tip maybe, right? He paid it all. It's all covered. It's a done deal. It's finished. Because he became sin that we could become the righteousness, right standing in front of God, not by what we do or how we act or all the stuff, but because we believe that Jesus, you did take my place and it was enough. Hallelujah. Next scripture. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame for him, before him, in love. Now, how can we possibly be without blame and holy before God? It says next, how? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be great to be adopted by a rich uncle? Here, think about that. I'm just going to adopt you. Give all my, you got all my possessions, all my stuff. You got my name, blah, 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 blah. Just go adopt you. We know what adoption means. It means a legal right. It means a legal right. If me and Melanie would adopt a child, they would be no different than our natural born children far as legal right. They would, legal right. They're just as much our kids as our natural born ones because we have adopted them into our family. That's what Jesus did. That's how we stand holy and blameless. He adopted us. I'm his child. So I stand before my Father as his child without blame, not because I don't have anything to be blamed for, because believe me, I do. I mean, I'm worse than Joe Brown, I promise. And I'm sitting there thinking, God, how does anybody see you? They see him through the blood of Christ, period. Because our works don't get us there. Now, our works make a difference because our works do show that we have been changed. But our works don't get us there. But his work did. That's what's beautiful. He predestinated us to be the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. It was the will of God we be adopted. It's the will of God we be his children. It wasn't grudgingly. It wasn't with, you know, anger or with, oh, I guess I got to do it. I mean, nobody wants that, right? Here's a gift for you. Here's a gift for your birthday. Happy birthday. Nobody wants an obligation gift. We like gifts because people give because they love us. Christ gave this gift because he loved us. It was his will we be adopted. Next scripture. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted. You know, when I was in high school, I had one really good friend. Really good friend. He's sitting right back there. I had another friend I hung out with, too, when he was not available. He was my plan B friend. But B was my plan A friend. But you know what? I only had one really good, had two really good friends in high school that I did anything with outside school. Just two. I know what you're thinking, but James, man, you're so cool and so hip. Everybody followed you. I know. But what I'm saying is the only people I hung out with outside of school was two people, Bill and a guy named Sam. Two people that I ever really did anything outside of North Iredale with, where we actually went out cruising or went to eat or hung out, you know, I know it's hard to believe, you know, lifting weights. That wasn't Bill, that was Sam. We would lift weights, and we played the Rocky tape, you know, the old cassette tape, Rocky, Eye of the Tiger. I mean, we'd be pushing that iron. It's the Eye of the Tiger! I'd be pushing that iron, boy. I feel like I was pushing 500 pounds. And then Sam said, you want me to put some actual weights in the bar? Oh, yeah, go ahead. Bar weighs 45 pounds, I'm just saying. So, I had two friends. But you know what? It's all I needed. Because my faith was so grounded in God that that's all I needed. Man, I had God. I really knew who I was. And so, yes, I was tempted, and there were things that came along in my life I could have made wrong decisions. But my faith and who I was in Christ, he always reminded me, remember who you belong to, James. You belong to the King. Can't do those things. You belong to me. Can't go that way. You belong to me. Can't date that girl. But God, she's so hot. You can't date her. But Lord, she's looking. He's actually, God, look at her. Look what she's wearing. You can't date her. I'm telling you, that's not your path. Trust me. Because you don't have no restraint. And you'll be in all kinds of trouble up in here. So just stay away. Stay away. And God will continually remind me of who I belong to. And I can truly say that. I mean, man, me and Bill, we would jam to Christian music after high school, man, coming down the road. I mean, that's just who we were. That's all we needed. Because I had you, and you had me. That's all that mattered. And what my whole point of saying that is I knew that I was accepted by God. And I knew I was his child. And that was enough. I didn't need a bunch of fake friends. I didn't need a bunch of party people. I didn't need a bunch of people that I don't remember their last name 3 years out of high school. I knew who I belonged to. And that's what makes a difference. Next verse. We have redemption. Look at this. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Oh, I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven through the riches of his grace. That's who I am. That's my position in Christ. See, the devil is always trying to tell us what we were. All the junk that we've done. And how do you know you're really born again? How do you know you really got the Spirit of God living in you? Because you don't always act so good. You don't always think so good. And you still got habits and stuff that you can't let go of. And I say this all the time. It's easy for us to look at someone and say, okay, you know, if you're a Christian, and these things I agree with, okay? If you're a Christian, we should have self-control. There's things in our lives that aren't good for our bodies, and they're not good for our witness sometimes. But for the one that says, well, you know, you shouldn't go to the bar after you're a Christian, I agree with that. But let's look at other issues in our lives. You shouldn't talk about people after you're a Christian. You shouldn't spread gossip. You shouldn't talk ugly and nasty. You shouldn't lie. You shouldn't cheat. You shouldn't steal. You should love all. Hey, guess what else you shouldn't be as a Christian? You shouldn't be prejudice. Well, I'm not really prejudiced, Pastor. Well, let's think about this. Okay, you're talking about the person you saw at the bar Saturday night knocking down a six-pack or some liquor or whatever they're knocking down, and you're like, I thought they were a Christian. I agree. You shouldn't be there as a Christian. You don't need to be at a bar drinking liquor if you're a Christian. But at the same time, if you don't love your fellow man after you're a Christian, something's wrong there too. If we don't love people because of how they look or where they come from, the rich or poor, black or white, Republican or Democrat, Cowboy fan or Panther fan, Duke fan or Carolina fan, whatever. That's a hard one, Shannon. I know. Hey, yeah, that was you. But you know what? I love Shannon, and she is welcome to come here as much as she wants, as long as she don't wear no Duke attire, she's cool. If she wears Duke attire, usher will tell her, you need to step outside. Security will bust the cap. I'm playing. Church, we got to be very careful to realize that we all make mistakes and that our forgiveness is according to his riches of grace and not our holiness of living. Yes, I absolutely believe we should live the best we can in Christ once we're saved. But don't let the devil come and say, well, you know, if you really saved, you wouldn't. If you really were saved, remind, just like Simba, right? All that time, Simba, he thought his father was dead, physically dead. And so, but he thought the reason he ran, he thought he was responsible for his father's death. So he felt shame and guilt. So he escaped and went to the place he shouldn't have went. Remember what Simba said before he died? All the police. I can't do like Earl Jones, whatever his name is. Earl Jones? James Earl Jones, yeah. All the places you see that are light, you can go. But where the darkness touches, do not go. Well, that's exactly where Simba went. The dark places. And here's the next king in line of the kingdom. And he's running around with a warthog and one of those puma cats or whatever you call it. Meerkat. I never know what that's called. Meerkat. His name was Puma, wasn't it? That's what it was. Timon, yeah. Timon and Pumbaa. Here's the King of Kings. Now, how many of you are running around with warthogs and leercats? Meerkats, I'm sorry. Meerkats. And here he is. He's in that dark place. And, I mean, he should be eating that warthog, not being pals with him. Hey, buddy, got some worms for me to eat? And then when he found out he was the next king, well, you're the next king? Are you serious? Uh-oh, you're the next king? And he went back and claimed his position. How many times are we not in the position God has told us to be in? And I'm talking about spiritually. man, we live in the dark place. We live where the warthog is instead of living where God put us, up on the mountain, standing there strong, saying, my God is my Savior and my Lord and my King, and I will walk in the power of his goodness. I will walk in the power of his anointing. I will walk in the power of his glory. I will walk in the power, and all these things the devil tries to attach to my life, I'm going to get rid of them. I'm going to detach them and say, no more. I'm tired of being a magnet receiver that everything he sends sticks to me, and I walk around with that. It's time to peel it off and let it go and say, no more fear, no more oppression, no more sickness, no more pain, no more guilt, no more condemnation. I'm tired of living that life. I'm rising up from the dark place, and I'm going back home, and I'm going to step back on that pride rock and say yes and roar with authority. My God is my King, and there is no other. That's where we should be as Christians. Taking our rightful place. Remember who you are in Christ. Man, we're accepted. We're forgiven. We're redeemed. We've already read all that so far. This is what we are. That's how much God loved us. But we don't live that life. Next verse, verse 13. In whom you have trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The word seal actually breaks down to mean possession. We are now in possession of God. His Holy Spirit seals us, guarantees us until the time of our full redemption. That's who I am. I'm a child of the living God. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm restored. I'm reconciled. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm all these things the Bible tells me, but we don't tell ourselves these things. We all just let the devil come in. The Bible says the devil is a liar, the father of lies, and he's also something else. He's an accuser of the brethren, the Bible says. He's always making accusations and pointing that little crooked finger. Pointing that little finger. Sorry, Brenda. Pointing that little finger. And he's saying, I'm going to accuse you of who you really are. You're nothing but an old drunk. You're nothing but you're just nobody. You can't ever get over the hump. You're always going to stay defeated and down. You can never get this. Nothing ever works out for you. Woe is me, poor is me, self-pity. Get a box of Kleenexes and a bunch of, you know, chocolate and ice cream and eat it until you're sick because boo, 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 hoo. And that's how we get into it, because we let the devil do that to us. Self-pity is a miserable place to be. And there's no reason any child of God should ever wallow in self-pity. But Jesus has paid it all. And my future, the devil can't stop. And my inheritance, the devil can't take. And my promise, the devil can't reverse. And my salvation, the devil can't rob. He has no power over those things. Because I belong to the King. You know, the first thing a child does, a little child, when it's in trouble, is starts calling for mom and dad. Don't it? Starts yelling, mom, mommy, 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 dad, dad. It's a natural instinct for help. And they know if mom and dad can get there, everything will be okay. I got lost in a grocery store years ago. My dad was out shopping on Saturday morning. I'll never forget this, but it was so traumatic. It wasn't dad's fault. I mean, you know, he was a good dad. It wasn't his fault. Was the old Winn-Dixie at the mall. The old Winn-Dixie. Been sitting there empty for 30 years. And we was in there shopping, and I got on a different aisle. Somehow, I don't know, I mean, of course, Dad wasn't paying attention, I don't guess. But anyway, somehow I look up, and Dad ain't there. I guess he went to the Beanie Weenie sale, got all excited. I don't know. Ooh, two for a dollar. I don't know what happened. But anyway, he left. And I'm sitting on the aisle, and I couldn't find them, and I started panicking. Dad! I started yelling like a little girl. No offense, little girls. Dad! Dad! And you know where he was? Like the next aisle over. But to me, he might as well have been 500 miles away because I couldn't see my father. We left Ashley, bless her heart. This was just last year. We did a corn maze. This was last year, bless her little heart. We did a corn maze, right? And so we're doing this corn maze up toward Wilkes County somewhere, Yakin County, doing this maze last fall. And so we tell Ashley, just stay here. We'll cut through and do a shortcut. Don't ever do a shortcut in a corn maze. we cannot get back to Ashley. We heard her, Mom, Dad. And there was no stick to wave. She stuck with big stalks of corn covering her. And I started freaking. Oh, my God. Where's she? Ashley, we're coming. We're yelling across that cornfield. Boy, she was done. Let's go. Got a car. She was over it. I felt like a horrible father. We left our daughter abandoned in a cornfield. They made some movies about that. Children of the Corn. Just saying. Oh, my gosh. I was like, man. So think about that. When we take our eyes off the Father, that's how we feel. We feel abandoned. We feel lost. We feel insecure. But our Father never leaves us in a cornfield. And our Father never leaves us at Winn-Dixie. Thank God that our Father doesn't do those things. But He remains. Next scripture. 1 Peter 2:9. I think about Angela with this verse. I know she loves this verse. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy. This is things that God is saying we are as Christians. I want you to process this. We're a chosen generation. Remember growing up in school when you pick teams and you always didn't want to be the last one to get picked for something, you know? I'll take him. Think about that. God chose us. I chose Gordon. But God, you don't know what all I'm going to do. It's okay. I still choose you. He chose Connie. Lord, you don't want me. Yeah, I do. He called Joe Brown's name. How old was you when you got saved, Joe Brown? 26. So at 26 years old, God called Joe Brown. And Joe's like, you really want somebody from Ohio in your kingdom? I'm an old Yank, Lord. Yeah, I want you, Joe. And praise Jesus, he even called Long Island back there. John and George Ann. I bet I can hear God now saying, John, this is your Lord and God. Come to the throne right now. Oh, beautiful. How God chose us and he called us. That's who we are, church. We're chosen by God. We're a royal priesthood. I mean, think about it. Some of you may watch the wedding last week in England. You know, the royal wedding. Think about this. We're in Christ, a royal priesthood. He sees us. God sees us as royalty. We're a holy nation, and we are a peculiar people. The word peculiar doesn't mean you're weirdos. The word peculiar means special. That we are his special people. That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. If we've been saved, we don't have to live in the dark no more. Turn the headlights on and start driving. Don't stay stuck where you're at, not knowing what to do. You should know what to do in Christ. God, I'm going to keep my eyes on you and go where you tell me and trust you to move forward. Because I'm no longer in that dark place of uncertainty. But I've been redeemed and called out now into your light, and I know the truth. Oh, how the truth sets us free. Next scripture. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That's who we are. We're the children of God. He's our King. He chose us. He called us. He died for us. No one forced Jesus to go to the cross. He rode in on a donkey to turn himself in. He came in peace, and he went knowing he would be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing he would be beaten with 39 stripes on his back at the whipping post, knowing he would be spit upon and mocked and speared and crown of thorns on his head, knowing he would be cussed at and ridiculed, knowing he would be stripped of all of his dignity and hung on a cross, suspended between heaven and earth, with everybody looking at him and everybody gazing upon him as he suffered the most horrific death at the time of crucifixion, where you literally suffocated to death is how you died. Crucifixion, you suffocated to death. The way they put the nails in your hands and arms, it made you have to gasp for breath, and you literally stopped breathing. And he did that completely on his own will. At the Garden of Gethsemane, remember he prayed, Lord, let this cup pass before me, but if not, God, your will be done. I'll do what you want me to do. This is the love that he showed that we could be called his children. Think about when you see children of special privilege that you may know, whether it's, you know, doctors' kids, professional athletes' kids, certain kids that you know have a special privilege because of who their parents are, the money they have, or how they're raised, or the resources available in their lives. And you see these kids grow up. You don't think, you know, the Kennedy family was one of the, I guess, what we call the rock and roll families of our country, one of the movie star families, the Kennedys. A lot of you remember the Kennedys, it's before my time, as far as them being really prevalent. But, you know, the Kennedys were kind of a Hollywood story in America, at least at one point. You don't think them Kennedys knew who they belonged to? I'm a Kennedy. I walk like a Kennedy. I dress like a Kennedy. I talk like a Kennedy because I am a Kennedy. They took that pretty important. They took that special. You don't think Donald Trump's kids are proud of him? I mean, even before he's president, man, my dad's a billionaire. I'm a Trump kid. My dad's a billionaire. Pretty impressive. They knew who they belonged to. We as Christians, man, if we knew who we belong to. God, I serve you. I'm going to walk like you've called me to walk. I'm going to stand like you've called me to stand. I'm going to talk like you've called me to talk. I'm going to love like you've called me to love. I'm going to reach like you've called me to reach. I'm going to serve like you've called me to serve. Because, God, I represent you, and I know who I belong to. If we know who we belong to, the devil won't have the power he has in our lives to pull us apart every single storm. Every storm that comes, we've got to remind, okay, here's the storm. The storm's going to come. I'm not saying the devil ain't real. The devil is very real. We know that. He's alive. He's roaming the earth. He brings temptation. He's trying to seek and destroy your life. But if we know who we belong to, devil, you know who I belong to? You know who my daddy is? My daddy's the king. It's kind of like me. If I get pulled by a Statesville City cop, first thing I want to say is, do you know who I am? I'm David Lee's pastor. That's who I am. You going to pull me up in here? I'm David Lee's pastor. You know David Lee? Yeah, we don't like him. Oh, okay, wrong. I'm just playing. Just hope I get one that likes you, brother. Man, think about that. You know, those of you that are in the Marines, you got this real thing about, you know, being a Marine. You know, you're proud of that, right? I mean, you're like got this, you know, supernatural, whoo, a Marine. You know, you're like, whoo, hoorah, whatever y'all say, Marines. Even the kids like, yeah. You're proud of that. Ain't there a saying y'all have, once a Marine, always a Marine? Ain't that one of y'all sayings? Once a Marine, always a Marine, something like that. You're proud of that. Because every time we honor veterans, y'all are the only ones that shout out. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. Y'all get all excited. Marines, you're proud of who you are. You know where you came from. You know what you belong to. Man, every time, Jesus, woo, is my king, woo. Hoorah, Jesus. Yes. Know who you belong to. Know who your father is. Know what belongs to you. We are positioned in his kingdom as his child. We are heirs of what God has to offer. We should walk in the fullness of these fruits we're talking about on Wednesday. We should walk in the fullness of peace and joy and long-suffering and love because of who we serve. That's what our Father does. That's what we do. Hallelujah. That we should be called the sons of God, therefore the world knoweth him not because it knew him. Know us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now. This is John talking. John's still alive. He's on the island of Patmos right now. He got abandoned, you know, got kind of exiled for his faith in Christ. He's still alive. Look what he's writing. Now we are the sons of God. Now we are. Not later. I've said this before. Yes, we will be manifested to a whole different realm in glory. We know that. But I will be no more a child of God after I'm dead than I am when I'm alive. When Shannon was carrying that baby in her belly, that child was real to you, wasn't it, Shannon? Just as real in your belly as it is laying right there beside you. That was your child. Right now, we're in the belly as Christians. We're in the belly. But there's a birth coming to where we, right here, will appear. We don't know what will happen exactly, what we should be. But we do know this, that when we shall appear, we shall be like him. Next verse, Michael. For we shall see him as he is. We'll be like him. See, when that baby was in Shannon's belly, they couldn't really see much. Didn't really know. What color are his eyes? Who is he going to really look like? What's his mannerisms? What's his features? How's he going to smile? How's he going to coo? Is he going to coo cute or be annoying? You know? How's he going to be? But as soon as this little baby boy was born, they begin to see the evidence of who he belonged to. He's got your eyes, Brian. He's got your nose, Shannon. He's got your big feet, Brian. He's got your big hands, Shannon. Whatever. They begin to see the traits of who he belonged to. See, right now, we are children of God. We are in the womb, so to speak. We're there. We've been born again. We're alive and well. But when the redemption, full redemption comes, it won't appear. We don't know exactly what will happen, but we do know this. We will be like him. No more death physically. No more sin spiritually. We'll be completely resurrected in a resurrected state to live forever physically, and no more sin will cast out of the garden because sin has been paid for once and for all. We're children of God. Galatians 3:26. I'm sorry, go back to that next verse. Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are," I think, "the children of God." How are we the children of God? By faith in Christ Jesus. Oh. He can be your king this morning, church. You can leave this sanctuary knowing that Jesus is your king. By hearing this message, letting the Lord speak to you and let you know, yes, I've got more planned for you than you've got planned for yourself. I've got a better destiny for you than you've got planned for yourself. There's something deeper I want to take you into than where you are right now. I've got more to show you than what you've seen so far. He can be your king if you'll say, "Yes, Lord, I believe the price you paid. Yes, Lord, I believe you died and I'm redeemed. Yes, Lord, I believe that you became sin who knew no sin, that I could become that righteousness. And I believe, God, I can be a child of God too by faith in Christ Jesus." Verse 27, "For as many as of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And this is what I say about us being one body. I know that we have really split into all kinds of denominations in this country. But if our faith is in Jesus Christ, him alone for salvation, we are part of one body. Even in this sanctuary, we look around each other and everybody looks a little bit different. We have different body shapes. Some are fantastic and some need some work. We have different hairstyles. Some of you could make a commercial. Some of us could make a freak show. Our language, our dialect, we have the Georgian talk, and we have the Ivy talk. We are different in how we look. Some of us are older, some of us are younger. Males, females, black and white. Gray hair, brown hair, red hair, no hair, straight hair, curly hair. All of us are a little bit different, but we're all in this one body this morning together. Our faith in one Lord and one Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the beauty of the kingdom. We're going to disagree on things. That's okay. We disagree in our own marriages with our own kids. It's okay. She's still your wife. He's still your husband. And they, unfortunately, still your youngin'. So what you got to do is you got to say, you know what? I am going to recognize they're part of my family. We're part of God's family. Close out with this. Here's 1 John 1:9. Look what the Word of God says. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That's how we become a child of God. We say, "Lord, I'm wrong, and I'm sorry, and I confess that I know that I'm born into sin, and without the remedy of the blood on my life, I stay in sin. But with your blood, God, it's all washed away. And I confess and I believe that you died for me. And God, I want to be your child. I want to know who I am. I want to belong to the King. I want to know, God, you by name. I want to know, Lord, when it's time that you're never going to leave me, and I'm going to always be with you from here forevermore into eternity. I want to know, God, you're there. I'm thankful that I know who I am in Christ. And I'm thankful that the things the world can't take that away and the devil can't take that away. We let him take those things away. Yeah, old song, the joy of the Lord. You know, I got the joy down in my heart. I got it in my heart. He says, you know, another song about joy says that, you know, the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. If we let the world take away our peace and joy, then we have not anchored in Christ where we need to be. Because the things happening against us should not be stronger than what's happening inside of us. I'm a child of the King, no matter if I see it or not. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you. Pull that song up, As I Am. I want you to sing that this morning. We'll have Melanie sing this song. And I want to open up the altar this morning for those of you who say, you know, I want to know, Pastor, that Jesus is my King. I'm not sure. I really never give it at all to him. Believe in God. I believe in him, but I've never really surrendered everything to him. And I'm ready today to surrender all that I have as I am. Jesus wants you as you are, not as you think you need to be. It's very important to realize that. That you come and say, Lord, as I am, take me. As I am, that's what I want to be. Are you about ready? I want to open up the altar. She sings this song this morning. It's called As I Am. And if you want to make Jesus your King today, come talk to him. Say, Lord, I confess all I've done before you. Forgive me and restore me, God. And be my King today. That you can walk out of here knowing who you belong to. That the devil has no more power over your life. If that is you, as she sings, come talk to God this morning.
Change.
I want you to leave this place today as if you're a Christian in here, knowing who you belong to, and quit letting the devil beat you all the time up. Quit letting him win. Know your position. Know your authority in Christ. Know what he's called you to be. Know what he's made you to be. We've read scriptures. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. Know that and trust that and believe that. And you tell the devil to go jump off a cliff, because he don't have the power if you've got the resurrection power in you. Hallelujah. Father, we are thankful for your presence today, and we are thankful that you are our King. God, I pray the word of God was sown into the hearts, that it will produce fruit, it will grow, it will manifest. That a word was heard today, God, that will quicken someone's spirit and make them really realize, yes, Lord, I do need you as my King, and I want you as my King. I want them to see the goodness that you are, God, and the mercy and the love that you are. I want them to see who you really are, Lord. You are the God who came for us. You're the God who rode in on donkey for us. You're the God who rose for us. You're the God who died for us. You are the God, Lord. You're all about what you did for mankind. You restored the kingdom. You paid a price no man could pay. No priest could sacrifice enough. There was no offering big enough. There was not enough blood to be spilt. But you, Jesus, after one offering forevermore, one time, went behind the veil and satisfied the demand of sin forever. And we are thankful, Jesus, that you paid that price. And I pray hearts hear this and eyes see this and ears know who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jewel, come